Let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 9. Okay, Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 20, we'll start at verse 18 and all the way to verse 22. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18 to 22. Okay, for those who are perhaps new, we actually have what we call the verses here and then something just to follow along, alright? Just kind of so that we can keep track of the message. And then you can make notes along the way. The Lord speaks to your heart. A verse comes to your mind. Just write it down so that you can go home and meditate upon it. We want God to minister. And the Lord Jesus is here today. Amen. He's right here. And He's waiting for someone to respond to Him so that He can minister to that person in a special way. Matthew chapter 9 verse 18 to 22. The Bible says, "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did all his disciples." We know that in these two verses, it refers to Jairus' daughter. Okay, there was this ruler who had a daughter who was going to die. And so he went to look for Jesus. Okay, and as Jesus was walking along, alright, this is just the background. Okay, the real story is in verse 20 to 22, the text for today. "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour." Let's pray and ask God to open our hearts to His Word. Father, speak from heaven today. Lord, we ask that everyone that has come will hear from You today. Lord, we do not come here just to meet friends. We do not come here just to sing a few songs. But we come here to hear from heaven. Lord, I pray if there is a deep need, or I pray if there is someone who may be looking for something in his heart or her heart, Lord, I pray that You will speak clearly and audibly, if it were, as it were in our hearts, that Lord, we might know what direction we need to take. Lord, as we look at this lady who was made whole, help us to be whole in Your presence. But speak, Lord, as Thy servant heareth, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, in 1992, I met a man, his name is Albert, okay? Now, I'm not too sure of his name now. My brain is going old, and so it was 18 years ago. But Albert was about 30 to 40 years old. Albert lives by himself. Albert is a man with cerebral palsy. How many of you know what cerebral palsy is? Who knows what cerebral palsy is? Well, cerebral palsy, you see people walking like this, young children, okay? Alright, and they have problems with movement. Albert had cerebral palsy, but he was living by himself, and he was probably one of the fortunate ones. In Australia, they tend to support these people a lot more. Albert had what we call movement coordination problems. He couldn't really feed himself properly. He couldn't, but he was independent. All right. Although he couldn't, he tried very hard to the point that he could ever even drive a car. they have special controls whereby it's not so much controlling. They don't have to use their legs. They just use their hands. It's automatic. They just put in the auto. You know how auto cars are? You put in automatic, you can move, alright? He could actually control himself enough to feed himself. He has a job, alright? He drives to work, okay? Much to the envy of many of us, I think, okay? Cars are very expensive in Singapore. But he drives to work, specially modified cars. He stays by himself in a one-room building, kind of like a studio apartment. But I think his hall is much bigger than many of the studio apartments in Singapore. Okay. When I met Albert, he was actually okay. He was still driving his car. He was actually doing well. And then I met him in 1991. Before I left I was, for those who don't know, I was doing a course in Australia for 4 years. So at the end of my course, I actually met him again. In between, I do go out for dinner with him, this Albert guy, and some of my friends also know him. Albert had cerebral palsy from young. 2 years later, when I met him, he was struck with Guillain-Barré syndrome. How do you know what Guillain-Barré syndrome is? Guillain-Barré syndrome is a disease that strikes at the nervous system. What happens is you have the nerve cell, okay? Nerve cell is always in your brain and your spinal cord. What happens is that nerve cell will send the electrical information from the brain through these things called axons, okay? Axons are those nerves that comes out that brings information to your different muscles. Through the axons, there's this thing called the myelin sheath, okay? Kind of like a covering for the nerves. It is important, the myelin sheath is responsible for making information go faster from the brain to the muscle. Does that make sense? So the brain, the axon, and the end, the muscle. The myelin sheath is responsible for the speed of which the information goes through. Have you ever do something like throw something and that person can catch quickly? Alright, now that is the responsibility of the myelin sheath to send the information quickly. Guillain-Barré is a disease that progressively attacks the myelin sheath, making it smaller, thereby making the responses slower. So when I met him in 1993, his movement was so slow. He could not even hop very loudly anymore. And he cannot drive anymore. And when we took him out for dinner, we have to push him on the wheelchair. He had cerebral palsy, which he cannot control. And then he was struck also with Guillain-Barré. On top of that, he was also struck with multiple sclerosis, which is another degenerative nerve disease that hardens the nerves. When I speak to him and you know, I try to share with him the gospel, you know what he said? Look at me. If God is a God of love, why am I like this? You know, that's a challenge to our faith, isn't it? You know, many Christians, when they see this kind of thing, sometimes the devil uses that to discourage us. Truly, if God is a God of love, how come this person is not well? You know, with all the faith movements going around, it's a sad thing that many people are still in hospital dying. You know, if there's this faith movement, why don't you just go to the hospital and let's wake everyone up, you know? Let's heal everyone. But you know what? When this person is faced with that kind of a disease, 1, 2, 3, it's like, you know, like rounders, strike 1, strike 2, strike 3, you're out. How do you answer someone who says, if God is a God of love, why am I like that? Can I say this? Just because we have disease doesn't mean God is not a God of love, amen? Just because we are sick, I've heard it, just because a child is sick, does that mean that the mother don't love him anymore? You know, sometimes people think selfishly. But as I look at them, I think on this man, I think of this lady that we just read in Matthew chapter 9, she had a totally different outcome. She was also struck with a disease of which I will explain a little bit afterwards. But yet at the end, the Bible said very clearly, that woman was made whole from that hour. Amen? That woman was made whole from that hour. It is our goal today to find out what made this woman whole, and perhaps learn something that for us in our life, that we can apply, that God can make us whole. I want us to notice 3 P's, okay? 3 PP's, actually 3 P's about this woman, okay? If you have the note there. I want you to note in verse 20, the woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years. Number one, the woman had a perplexing problem. This woman had a perplexing problem. A problem that was so bad. The disease apparently here was the issue of blood. Now let me explain a little bit. This apparently has to do with the monthly cycle that our ladies go through. Alright? So it's part of the monthly cycle. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 15. And I'll show you why it's a perplexing problem. Leviticus chapter 15. In the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Okay? Leviticus is a very difficult book. There was, I think it was Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown went out for a date with a girl, and he said, "You know what? To try to understand you is try to understand, like trying to understand the book of Leviticus." Okay, don't say that, alright, to anyone like that. But you know, in Leviticus, although it is difficult to understand, you realize in the book of the law, God was mentioned the most. Thus saith the Lord is mentioned the most. And so it's an important book. But in Leviticus 15 verse 19, God gave to Moses to give to the children of Israel this law. And it's interesting, it's medically so accurate, alright, that we can put faith in it. And as ladies, as you read, you'll probably understand a little bit better. If a woman have an issue, and an issue in her flesh be blood, okay, she shall be put apart how many days? 7 days. And whosoever touches her shall be unclean until the even. In verse 20, and everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. Whosoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and shall bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. Verse 22, whosoever touches anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And if it be on her bed, on anything whereupon she sits, when he touches it, he shall be unclean until the even. And any man lie with her, and her flowers be upon him. Okay, there's a interesting way of speaking, but if you want to know the meaning, ask me afterwards. She shall be unclean 7 days, and all the bed whereon he lies shall be unclean. And so when a woman have an issue of blood, the monthly thing, she is considered unclean. Okay, she is considered unclean. Okay, she's almost, according to the Levitical law. So that as long as the lady is going through the cycle, she is considered unclean. But notice verse 25. If a woman have an issue of blood, many days out of the time of a separation. That means if she goes through the issue of blood, that is not part of the monthly cycle, but over and above what she is actually experiencing. Or if it run beyond the time of a separation, in other words, not just for 7 days, but maybe for 10 days or 15 days. All the days of the issue of uncleanness shall be as the days of a separation. Realize the seriousness that God puts on this law because of the uncleanness, and probably God has in his mind hygiene and probably safety and not be infecting the people. So God makes it very clear that person, that lady is considered unclean. The disease here seems to be an issue of blood and seems to be the monthly cycle has been affected. And this lady was afflicted not just for a few days, not just for a few weeks, not for a few months. She was afflicted 12 years. 12 years afflicted with a disease. How do you ladies like to be afflicted by that? 12 years you have this problem. And then according to some commentators, it's probably a fibroid tumor or some sort of cancer of some sort that is affecting her, that causes her to go through this for 12 years. Now why was it a perplexing problem? I think for some of our sisters here, when you go through that, it's not comfortable, I understand. Okay. But you know, why was it perplexing to her? For us, over a period of time is over, but for her, for 12 years, number one, it was perplexing because it affected all her social relationships. If you look at the Bible in Leviticus, she's not supposed to touch anyone. And no one is supposed to touch her. She is unclean. She's supposed to be put out. She's supposed to be separated. Now, how do you like to be separated for 12 years? You know, there was one commentator who actually said this. Probably her husband divorced her because he cannot touch her. And so probably there's this social affecting. But you know what? It also affected not only her social relationships. It was perplexing because it affected her worship of God as well. You look at Leviticus 15 verse 28. But and if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. And on the 8th day she shall take unto 2 turtles or 2 young pigeons and bring them unto the priest into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer the one for the sin offering, the other for the burnt offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her before the Lord for the issue of her uncleanness. But get this, this lady cannot do that for 12 years. She couldn't worship God because of her uncleanness. A disease that is upon her again and again for the last 12 years. Her problem was so great that she can never be cleansed. Because you notice in Mark 5:26, for those who have the sheet of paper, I printed out the verse. In Mark 5:26, she did all he could to overcome this problem. The Bible said they had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing better. Can you imagine having a disease, spending all you have, and still not getting better? You know what the Bible said? But rather grew worse. Now one of the things I like to ask to think, is there some problem, a perplexing problem in our life now? Something that is with us may not be the issue of blood, but something that's in our heart. Something that's happened in a situation. Something that just doesn't go away. A problem that affects our social relationships. The problem sometimes that affects our worship of God. Can I say at this time, as a Christian, if you're a Christian today, your social relationships must be right. Otherwise, we cannot be right with God. Can I say that again? Our social relationships with men as a Christian must be right. Otherwise, our relationship with God cannot be right. Because the Bible says, 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God, hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? So God says, you're just inconsistent. Alright? But you know, this lady had a perplexing problem. And perhaps someone in this room may have a perplexing problem, something that just will not go away. And you've tried different things, you tried different strategies, you tried different things, you try to go to people, it just does not go away. It could be a sin, it could be an attitude, it could be a lifelong disease, it could be some situations. She had a perplexing problem. Do you have a perplexing problem today? Last week, my family and I were watching this documentary about the Octopus Man. Have you heard of the Octopus Man? The Octopus Man. There was a man by the name of Rudy Santos. He lived in Bacolod City in Philippines. Okay, he's a Filipino. He was 55 years old, 2008, when they finally found him. Okay, have you heard of it? Yes? Okay, okay. Brother Lex, I've heard of it before, okay? He was born probably in the... He was 55 now, so he's probably born in the early 1960s. He went in the 70s and 80s. He was a star at the carnivals, okay? And one documentary mentioned, he can earn as much as 20,000 pesos in one night. Wow. Brother Robert's eyes. 20,000 pesos in one night, okay? Why was he so famous? He had 4 arms. And 3 legs. 4 arms and 3 legs. During that time when he was so famous, he was very rich. Because he would appear at what are called freak shows. You know those people that, like, I think right now in Thailand, they would exhibit those lady Karen ladies who tie the ring around the necks, and then it's supposed to be like, well, I don't know, how long as giraffe or whatever. Okay? But this man, Rudy, when he was late teens, going to 20 to 30, he was very rich, was famous because of his, he was known as the Octopus Man, literally Octopus Man, okay? After that, over time, the novelty of looking at these people wear off, and he was forced into poverty, and apparently he owed a lot of debts, and he had to run away, and he lived about 500 kilometers away from Manila City. You know, he had a perplexing problem. And for those who do not know, it's actually a medical condition, a rare medical condition, whereby the twin actually was growing halfway and then dies. But already the hands have come out, and he had three legs. And I think the two legs were stuck here. There's additional two legs, and then there was additional arms just coming out of him. Okay? And the reason why he finally came out was because this twin was still growing. And he was dying because the twin, although he's not there, was killing him. And the doctors actually do a lot of x-ray. They wanted to give him free surgery to remove. Alright? If you go on the net, you'll find another girl who actually has eight legs. Four arms and four legs. The twin apparently died. So they call it a parasitic parasite, a parasitic twin, whereby they would grow together, but one dies, but the other survives. And so the one that dies actually clicks on to this one who's alive and sucks out blood and whatever for his sustenance. You know why he was dying? Because his heart pressure was 190/90. For those who know medical terms, that's very, very high. Our normal blood pressure is 130/60 or 70 only. His was 190/90. Why? Because the illustration, the doctor, the very famous, I think was an orthopedic surgeon, I think his name is Dr. Vincent something in the Philippines, was saying that the reason why his blood pressure was so high, because the twin that is not there, is requiring a lot more blood, and the blood heart has to pump very, very hard to supply both his body and the parasitic twin. Okay? And the doctor was very, very concerned, so he got another cardiologist to come in, and the cardiologist was concerned because he is concerned that the heart cannot take the operation. He had a perplexing problem. As far as I know, right now he is still having his parasitic twin with him. Do you have a perplexing problem, something that hangs on to you? And get this, an interesting illustration is it not only hangs on to you, it saps your life. And sometimes as Christians, or maybe you may be here and it's something that is sapping your life. The Christian life no longer brings joy. Winning of souls is it's kind of take it or leave it. Reading the Bible no longer becomes exciting. When God wants to speak to us every day. If you're here, you're not a believer, can I say this? Things of this world will sap your energy anyway. Do you have a perplexing problem? Number one. But notice secondly, in Matthew chapter 9, although she had a perplexing problem, she nevertheless had a precious possession. A precious possession. Now, what is this precious possession that she had? Now, in order to answer this question, we need to ask ourselves, what was the thing that made her better? Remember at the beginning, the Bible, Jesus actually said, the lady was made whole from the beginning. Now, what was the precious possession? Notice in verse 22, Matthew chapter 9, but Jesus turned him around about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Her precious possession that helped her in the disease situation that she's in was her faith. Now, what is faith in the Bible? What is genuine faith? One of the things as I talk to people and as I try to minister to people, counsel people, there's a lot of definitions of faith. Some people believe in faith. So I just have to have more faith and so things will happen. In some of the healing, there was this particular situation, some of you may know, there was this son who actually, a mother who was blind. He went for a healing service and hoping the mother would see again. And so at the end, the mother of course didn't see. And you know what they were told? You don't have enough faith. You know what? The son, who's a Christian, was so disgusted. Oh yeah, he's still, but he's not walking with God anymore. He was so disgusted with that. Can I say this? If you read in the Bible, people who didn't have faith got healed too. Remember? Remember the four friends who brought the paralyzed man? Jesus just had to say, take up that bed and walk. And the man walked. Okay? Can I say, you need to be careful. What the definitions of faith. Now what is Bible faith? What is genuine faith of the Bible? Faith simply is, faith is the belief on a God that is trustworthy. Belief on a God that is trustworthy. Little Michael trusts Brother Robert and Sister Gemma to take care of her needs. Michael would never say, Papa, did you earn enough money this month for my milk? If not, I have to go and work. Micah is just going to wake up, eat, sleep, and spoil things in the house. Okay, of course he's going to learn new things as well, but she trusts Mama and Papa to take care. And some of us who have little children will understand that. Please, our children is not going to say, Papa, Mama, do you have enough money this month to feed me? No. It's just simple trust. And I know that Esther Joy, for example, my youngest one, whenever there's a problem, she will run to me, expecting me to help her. Because that's trust. And as parents, we understand that. As people, grown up, for some of you who are in authority, perhaps you take care of little children, you understand that. Do we believe that God is trustworthy? You know what the Bible says? It doesn't take great faith to trust in God. It takes a grain of a mustard seed. You know how big is a mustard seed? Smaller than the size of your sesame seed. Isn't that true? A mustard seed is smaller in size than a sesame seed. Smaller. So it's not so much I have big faith, but I have little faith in a big God. All it took, remember when Peter walked on the water, and when he started going into the water, he said, Lord, save me. What did Jesus say? All he had was, Lord, save me. And Jesus went down. You know what? Sometimes in our depths of despair, all we need to say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but please help me. That's all that it takes. But with full faith that God can help. You know what we sometimes do? We ask God help us, but we still want to help ourselves. And God says, if you want to help yourself, then I cannot intervene. I can't. I remember there was one time one of my children actually wanted me to fix something, but this particular child keep say, well, if I do, you do it. Okay, then after that he pulled his hands off. Isn't that true? Isn't it hard for us to help someone if he keeps interfering? You know, that's what we as Christians sometimes do. We interfere with our opinions, we interfere with what we want to do, we interfere rather than putting faith in this God who is trustworthy. Can we depend on God for our life and future and for our help now? That is true faith. Can I say this based on this particular passage? All the money in the world could not help her. She had a disease. All her money in this world couldn't help her. All the people in the world could not help her. She had religious people, but they could not help her. All the professional doctors in the world during that time could not help her. The Bible says she spent all her money on physicians and she got worse. Aren't you frustrated? You know, you go to this doctor, the doctor says something, then you eat a bag, it got worse, you go to another one, and then afterward, you guys can't do anything. All the talents and methods in this world could not help her. You know what was the one thing that helped her? Her faith. Her faith. You know, as I thought on this, I realized one thing, and I hope you do too. There's something in this world that just cannot be handled by skills or possessions. It must be dealt with by faith. Must be dealt with by faith. This world always wants something to hang on to. We want always something, a method. Tell me a way I'm going to do it. It's ministering to someone right now, and was speaking to these parents, and these parents say, at least you know the technique of helping. You know what? It's not me helping, it's God helping. I'm just trying to make sure we follow God's rules in doing that. There's sometimes in life, God would actually, you know, sometimes we depend so much on strategies and skills, and we go to this person and that person, and can you tell me how to do this and all that? You know what? One of the lessons I learned from this particular passage is sometimes God has to lead us to the point of desperation. God has to put us to the point, just like the prodigal son, to push you to the lowest of the lowest of the lowest, until there's no more lowest to go, until the only way you look is to look up. Sometimes God has to push us to the point of desperation so that we will build faith and say, God, I cannot do it anymore. God, please come in. You know, this lady was so desperate. What kind of precious faith that she has? You know, the faith is such a precious possession. Can I say this? Your money and your bank account is not your most important possession. It's your faith in Jesus Christ. Because you know why? When you die, you cannot bring your bank account. There's no ATM in heaven. Anyway, the chief banker is there. And all things are provided for. But you know what? We hang on to what we have here so much sometimes. Our relationships, thank God, if they're in Christ, we'll have them forever. But you know what? The only thing we can bring to heaven is our souls, the souls of our friends and our families. What kind of faith did she have? Number one, she had active faith. Look at Matthew chapter 9 verse 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind her. Notice the action word. Came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. It is said that perhaps the Bible said that there was a lot of people there, and what she did was she had faith in this Lord Jesus, and then she did something about it. The Bible says very clearly, faith without works is dead. I can believe in something, but if I don't do anything about it, it does not profit me. Okay? Let's say if I know my family has convinced me that bitter gourd is good. Which it is. I think bitter gourd is good, right? Supposed to be good, right? So I remember when I was younger, brother, Robert is smiling. Okay, do you like bitter gourd? You do, okay. So I'm following after you now. Okay. When I was young, when I was 8 years old, I ate bitter gourd and threw up because I wanted to be proud. See, I can eat this bitter gourd, no problem. When I put in, at 8 years old, I threw up. And I remember that vividly, so I stayed off bitter gourd. I said, no, it's from hell, you know. I'm not going to touch it now, I'm just joking. But I'm not going to touch bitter gourd until recently, okay, until recently. My family now, my wife will cook bitter gourd soup and she likes that, and so we all enjoy it together. But you know now, we know that it's good and I'm doing something about it. Last time, this is what I believe in 1982. I believe computers are from the devil. I really believed that, alright, when I was 14 years old. Okay, until I began using it. I said, it's not too bad actually. Okay, and now I'm a convert. You know, sometimes we have certain things which we believe in, but sometimes we don't do anything about it. We believe Christ can save, amen? You know what's the logical outcome of that? If you believe Jesus can save, if Jesus can save a sinner, Jesus can change a harlot, Jesus can change a drunkard, then what do we as Christians need to do? We need to go and tell them that He can. The proper response of faith. You believe that the Bible is true, then live it, study it, memorize it. We believe that God can help us in our perplexing problems, then trust Him. Many of us here, I believe. But I think you know what I'm saying. But you know what? We need to act on that faith. This lady had an active faith. In other words, I don't just believe, I do something about it. Okay, that's one. She had active faith. Number two, she had a bold faith. She had a courageous faith. How do I know it was a bold faith? Because she touched the hem of his garment. In Leviticus 15, it is very clear. A lady who has this disease is not supposed to touch anyone. Because if you touch the person, you make the person unclean. And so they were separated. But what did she do? The Bible says in Mark chapter 5 verse 27, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. This lady, many people were actually crowding around Jesus, but you know what did this lady do? She broke the customs of that day. She broke the customs of that day. She wanted to go to Jesus because he knew Jesus could help her. And she was supposed to be separate from the people around her because of her uncleanness, but she boldly went to Christ. An unclean woman cannot touch a man because it makes him unclean. But despite all this, probably this is what she said. I know he can heal me, but I must go and I don't care about the difficulties. I need to put faith in Christ. Hers was a bold faith. Is your faith bold in Christ? Are there some perplexing problems? I think sometimes we go through the problems and we stay in those problems because when God tells us to do something bold, we are not willing to do that. When God tells us to do something that will require us to take a step of faith, we are not willing to do that. Is it a sin that we are willing to, that we need to be confessing and deal with by faith? No, God wants us to have a bold faith so that He can help us. That's all. The Bible says, Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come what? Boldly unto the throne of grace. We need to come boldly unto the throne of grace. But can I just justify this by saying, the Bible talks about bold faith, but the Bible didn't say foolhardy faith. You know what? There's a difference between courageous faith and a faith that is blind. Okay? Let's turn to Judges, alright? I just want to give an illustration. We need to have bold faith in our Christian life, but we must be careful that our faith is based on principles. Judges chapter 16. Judges in the Old Testament, 16. All right, Judges chapter 16 and verse 18 to 21. This story of Samson. Okay, Samson had long hair. Okay, not because he doesn't like the barber. Okay, he has to keep his long hair because that was the source of his strength. Okay, God says he is a Nazarite. He's not supposed to cut his hair. He's not supposed to touch a dead body. And he's not supposed to drink alcohol. Can I say this? Samson broke all three of them. He broke all three of them. He touched a dead body, the dead lion. He drank alcohol, wine. And now his hair is cut. All three of them were broken under the Nazarite vow. Notice what happened to him. In verse 18, and when Delilah saw that he had told all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines. Of course, the Philistines wanted to kill Samson, saying, "Come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came unto her and brought money in her hand. She made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." Supposed to be more feminine, alright? And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as it at other times before and shake myself." At other times when the Philistines caught him, all he did was to do was, you know those Chinese fighting movies, right, and they just throw and everyone flies. You know, Samson thinks he could do that and shake myself free. But guess what the Bible says? And he wist not, and he knew not, that the Lord was departed from him. Can I say this? It's one thing to have bold faith, but when there's inconsistencies in our life, please, don't be like Samson. Because you will realize, you know what's the outcome after that? The Philistines caught him, put his eyes out. You will be traveling in wilderness for some time. We need to be careful. In the book of Numbers, same thing. When God says, "I want you to go into the promised land," 10 spies said, No, cannot, too hard. The two spies said, "Yes, let's go." But God was angry with the whole nation of Israel. But the next day, they wanted to go in. God says, "No. Yesterday, I told you to go. You don't want. Today, better don't go." You know what Moses says? "Please don't go because the Lord is not with you." You know what? They presumptuously went. In other words, they just, God is definitely with me, and they went. You know what happened? The Bible says that the Amalekites smote the children of Israel. Oh, have bold faith in Christ, but please, have the right faith. And the right faith is faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's word. Your life must be consistent. And so, but this lady was consistent. This lady was consistent. And God, she had a bold faith. And she came to Christ. She knew Christ could help her. Why do I say that? Let's move on to the next one. She had active faith. She had bold faith. She had a considered faith. A faith that she had thought through. How do I know that? Matthew chapter 9 verse 21. For she said within herself. In other words, there was some consideration already she put in her life. She was thinking, "If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole." She mentally considered, she reasoned, and she had concluded that there is what needs to be done so that she can be whole. She knows that in order for me to be whole, I need to touch the hem of this person's garment. Jesus can heal me. I believe this is what went through in her mind. This is the Lord. He can heal me. I know He can. How do I know? I heard Him healing a paralyzed man, Mark chapter 2. I heard Him healing a man with a shriveled hand, Mark chapter 3. I heard Him heal many large crowds of people. And then in Luke chapter 7, I heard Him raise a centurion servant. And I heard Him raise a widow's son. The reason why I brought up this is because it's in the vicinity of Capernaum where the widow was. Or rather, where this widow was. I've heard of Jesus, and He had done all these things. And it was in the city vicinity. Or kind of like in Sembawang, you know. Jesus was healing in Sun Plaza. And he called it Causeway Point. And I heard that people were healed. And said, "God, go, I can be healed too." She considered. You know what? Because faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. She was considering the power of God. And she knows God can do it. You know, she had active, bold, and considered faith. You know, sometimes for me, it's thinking 1,000 souls for Christ. You know what? It's possible if you just start one by one. Everyone, just start one by one. As Pastor Chanta shared with us, each one, reach one. We just need to each one, reach one. And every one of one, reach one. Within 6 months, we will double. And then double and double. Is it possible? Genuine faith is a considered faith. Genuine faith is considered faith. Notice, fourthly, her faith is not only genuine. She had genuine faith in Christ that made her known to God. She had a genuine faith in Christ that made her known to God. This is very important. I want you to notice her faith in Matthew 9:21. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. If I just touch, I shall be whole. She believed not in the doctors, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. And said, if I were to touch his garment, she will be whole. That is faith. But can I say this? When you have faith, you need to have faith in the right God. You need to have faith in the right God. Many people believe in, you know, when they go to the internet, you can also read testimony of people who was changed because they go to the Buddhist faith. Oh yeah. You know that many religions can help people become good, but only Christianity can bring us to heaven. I don't say that in a derogatory way. But the Bible says very clearly, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But it's interesting in this particular verse. If you look at verse 22, she not only had genuine faith in Christ, in Matthew 9:22, Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said what? He said what? Did Jesus know her? No. Humanly, Jesus didn't know her. But guess what? Spiritually, Jesus knew her. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen? You know, it's interesting that Jesus would call her daughter, not woman. You know what that tells me? She had faith in Christ, and Jesus knew her. And that's a very important part, because in Matthew chapter 7, many shall come to me that day and say, Lord, Lord. And what does Jesus say? Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I what? Never knew you. She had genuine faith, and that teaches me one thing. Jesus recognizes genuine faith. Amen. Just simple, humble faith coming to Christ. The lady was acknowledged by the Lord Jesus. Can I ask, would the Lord Jesus acknowledge our faith today? When we have a perplexing problem, you say, Lord, God help me. You know what God is going to do? Okay. Number one, he said, is your faith active? What are you doing about it? Are you coming to me? Are you praying? Are you seeking my word for my guidance? Are you making sure you are faithful in the little things? Is yours an active faith? God, sorry. I'm very busy last week. Is ours a bold faith that we will be willing to do things? No, people have, there are people who, in order to trust Christ, many of us know Brother So, trust Christ, God has called him to the full time in China. What did he do? Give up his job, give up everything to go to China, because it's a very specific calling of God. Well, he thought he was going to fly planes for Christ. No, he could, he's a pilot. But God said, no, you're going there to speak Mandarin. Say, huh? And he was sharing the first few messages. His life was, his wife, who is better at Mandarin, was that every time he preached, the wife was because his Mandarin was so apparently worse than mine. That's why he said they like to be modest, you know. But you know what? Today, every year he baptizes and wins 100 over people to Christ every year. In a communist country, what are we doing? Now he was following the will of God, and he had a bold faith. He gave up things to follow specifically God's will. His was a considered faith. He made sure everything was in the right place. Is our faith considered? Have we considered everything? Or we just, or this is what I've made up my mind about. But Lord, whatever it is, I'm not going to consider. This is what I'm doing. It's a considered faith. Is it a genuine faith? And is it a faith in Christ? Or is it faith in our own works? Or faith in our own direction? Or faith in our own thing? And it's our faith in Christ. You know, she had a perplexing problem, but she had a precious possession. Finally, thank God, she has a positive prognosis. Okay, God, Jesus told her this after she put her faith in Christ. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Your faith hath made you whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Thank God, when Jesus says you're whole, amen. A man can say anything about you, but say, you know, one of the things that I've learned is people can still accuse me. I have a past I'm not proud of. And some of us may have that too. People may bring it up, but I can say this, I know I have a past, but thank God Jesus forgave me and it's over. All my sins are gone. You can accuse me. Yeah, sometimes though, you have to live with the consequences of your past. Okay, there are some people who maybe they have been a drug addict, but Christ changed their lives. But you know what? They still have to live with the consequences of what they've done. Perhaps, maybe they had brain damage, or they couldn't remember properly, or maybe their family doesn't want them anymore, and nothing can change their mind. But you know what? Thank God, Christ can still forgive them. There was a positive prognosis. When a child of God comes to God, God will never turn away. Amen. Neither will He ignore. Christians, can I say this? You may have a perplexing problem. You may have a difficulty that will never go away to you. But if we will just come to Christ on His terms, as a sick man, I refer to Rudy Santos. Rudy Santos was a man, and we saw the whole documentary. It was a bit late, but I let my children watch because it's quite interesting. Because at the end, the cardiologist, the orthopedic surgeon says, "We can save you. We can save you. But we will need a major operation, which will take how long? About 6 hours to 8 hours. I'm not too sure. Quite a long operation to remove the parts slowly. And the surgeon said, step by step, this is what we need to do first. We need to remove this. Then we need to remove this. And there was hope. But Rudy Santos had to make a decision. Am I going to listen to the doctor to follow his steps to help me out of my perplexing problem? Or am I going to stay where we are? You know what was his result? The result of Rudy Santos at the end of the documentary? He decided not to get help. This is so sad. When help is available and the doctor is willing to do it for free, come on, we want to save you. But you know what? The doctors, of course, you know, medical ethics, professional ethics, it's your choice. The doctors show him all the x-rays, they even have a computer. They drew exactly where the bones were and all that, what they had to do. It was all presented to Rudy Santos. His final decision? No. After all that, no. A chance to save his life. Of course, he says he has his reason. And his reason is, this twin brother has been with me for the last 55 years. I feel very sad if I separate from him. In the same breath, he knows that if he doesn't get rid of this, he'll die faster. Because this brother is taking up so much, and it was a problem for him. Now you may say, Brother, I don't judge him, but all I'm saying is, there was a solution offered. But Rudy Santos said, no. Many people in Singapore who have never trusted Christ, who go through perplexing problems, are saying no to God. That's why they are still in their perplexing problems. Can I say today? Jesus has the answer. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ has the answer. This book we have. Sometimes we may not like what the book says, but the book provides hope. And Jesus is our hope, our rock, and our fortress in times of need. And Christians, what about you? What is your hope? And I believe very firmly, as I look at this passage, there are some things in life that cannot be resolved by skill or strategies. It can only be resolved by faith in God. And that's why God sometimes may have to drive us to the edge, that the only person we need to see is God. All human help has failed. All financial investments have failed. Everything that I put my hopes on have failed. Only Jesus never fails. Only Jesus never fails. Jesus says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, John 6:37, the Father giveth to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What a blessing. Jesus says, if we will genuinely in faith come to Christ, he will not cast us out. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word believeth on him that sent me had everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Christians, can I say this? Some of us are living under the condemnation of guilt, depression, maybe discouragement. Why? Because we are not willing to listen to the advice of God. We need to come by faith. God, I know you are a God. What is faith? Faith is belief in a God that can be trusted. And so if we come to a place where I have a problem, but I trust God, I say, God, I surrender my problem to you. Everyone who has come to Christ has never been rejected nor disappointed. Psalms 37 verse 25, Bible says, David says, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I have been a young man and now I'm an old man, King David said, but I've never seen anyone who have trusted God have gone begging for food. I also saw his children being fed. God has taken care not only of that person but of the person's generation. The proconsul, another person, I don't know, some of you may know this man by the name of Polycarp. Polycarp was one of the church fathers early on in 100 AD. Polycarp, I'm not too sure, I think tradition says that, remember Jesus put a little child on his lap? Okay, apparently they say that Polycarp was their little child, okay? But I don't know, that was just church tradition. But you know what, Polycarp, a Christian, was told this, swear and I will release you. I want you to deny Christ. Alright, he was about to be killed. You know what Polycarp answered? 86 years have I served him, and he never once wronged me. How then can I blaspheme my king? Polycarp, at the face of death, told you better deny Christ, and then I'll release you. You know what Polycarp said? For 86 years I've served Jesus, and he has never did one wrong thing to me. How can I blaspheme his name? And Polycarp was killed for his faith in Christ. But you know what? The testimony of the faithfulness of God. Christians, you may go into hard times. You know what? Jesus specializes in helping people out of hard times. But we need to come to Him with an active and bold faith, trusting Him. And I believe there may be some of us here who may have that perplexing problem that just will not go away. You know what you need to do? Cast yourself at Jesus' feet. Just come to Him as you are. There's some of... Why don't we just say, look, God, you can do a better job at my life than I can. Anyway, you wrote the manual on life. I need to trust you more. Some of us may have sin in our lives, maybe pride or selfishness or just blatant sin. Sometimes we are afflicted in our conscience. We are trying to silence it by doing good works. Dear friends, God wants to relieve us, but we must trust Him. Can I... finish off, let's turn to John chapter 8 and verse 31. I'll finish off three things to be free. John chapter 8 verse 31, 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him. Maybe in your mind you say, Brother Johnny, I do have this perplexing problem. What should I do? What can I do? Jesus says this. Number one, there must be faith in Christ. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him. You must believe that Jesus can make us free. Number two, there must be a continuance in Christ and His words. The Bible says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Jesus made it very clear. You know, when I go to the doctor says, I want you to take this antibiotics, you must take the entire course. Some of us cheat, right? We take 2 days, we don't want to take hoping because we're okay already, alright? Alright? But you know what? If we don't listen to the doctor, what might happen? Relapse. Relapse. You know what Jesus says? You want to be free? You follow my word. If you continue my word, then you demonstrate that you truly trust me. And then the last part in verse 3, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There will be a knowing of the truth. As you continue in doing what God says, we will know the truth, and then the truth will make you free. Once we are willing to follow God's instructions, trust Christ, come to Him, trust Christ, follow His word, and then you will know to make you free. Are you bound by your perplexing problems? Would you come today and place your trust in Christ? Christians, you're going through that kind of things today? Trust Christ. Money can't solve the problem. Skills sometimes can't solve the problem. Friends can't solve the problem. Faith in God can. I finish with this quote. God our Father had made all things depend on faith, so that whoever have faith will have everything. And whoever does not have faith we have nothing. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. For they that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Do you have faith in God? Let's pray.